very different. I was awakened at 3 a.m. and it was a very strong press to take Holy Communion. And the Lord gave me a scripture which we'll go into later. It's not the moment right now, but I just want to agree with you that God's plan to use us for His glory is the press that's been in my heart, not just when we took communion, but also for accomplishing God's plan, making sure that we will not fall short. Now, there are times when things get a little heavy in your lives and you kind of want to pull back. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But that's usually when the time we need to press forward. We need to just ask the Lord for grace to go forward. Because without grace, you're never going to do it. Without His energy and presence, you're not going to be able to. And this morning, it was, like I said, very, very different. I knew that there was an anointing on the word that He had given me, but I didn't know how He wanted to present it. And as I was praying on the way in, I said to the Lord, I'm going to give you my mouth and please fill it. That's what I prayed. I'm going to give you my mouth, please fill it. So what comes out this morning, I pray, will awaken in you a hunger. And to recognize that we're living in a very, very precarious time. It's not make-believe, it's not a scare tactic, it's not something that you need to be bent out of shape about, but we are in a place in God's timetable to really be an obedient and useful tool for His hand. Not just make-believe, this is serious. We have a government structure right now that's trying to push an awful lot of buttons, and there's a lot of irritated people. But I did hear some good news this morning that there was a gentleman who resigned. And this particular man happens to be an advertised communist. And because of the obedience, I believe, of one particular network and exposure of the background of some of these individuals that are, you know, placed in positions of authority. And if God's people will humble themselves and pray and ask God to do His work, and His angels are on that job to clean up what's going on, God is not going to be mocked. This country is a very important part of the world system. We have been chosen by our ancestors to serve Him and Him alone. And yes, there's many in the nations with an S, that have another plan in mind. But that plan will not bear fruit. God is not going to be caught off guard. It's not an accident. God is a lover of His people. He's the lover of every single one of His people. He loves you and I. He cares about us. He is not going to be deceived. And you know, when we begin to understand what He's trying to do with us and what He's trying to do in us, you see, that's the ultimate goal. What does He want from the house of prayer? What does He want from your particular family? He did not recreate you in His image by accident. It is not something that happened just to make you happy or lift you up. Am I making any sense? He's trying to lift up His Son, Jesus Christ. He's trying to recreate Him in the earth. And people are so selfish in the church. And I'm not accusing any church now. It's not. Do you understand where I'm coming from? It's not all about me so that I can get my blessings this weekend when I come to church. You know, normally I go around and I anoint people with oil. The Lord said, no, not today. Not going to happen today. And you know, His plan is to change us from selfishness to selflessness. Okay? That's what He's looking for. And you know what? I have a lot of problems with flesh. My flesh and my brain wants to go in the direction of selfishness. It's had this attitude since I was yay high. This morning, I heard a name. And you know, sometimes you just say, Lord, where's that coming from? I heard a name. And it happened to be a lady. It's a lady that my mom used to help when I was probably a year old. And I don't remember her, but I do have one vision that comes back periodically since I'm one and a half, where we lived in a particular place, and this happened to be her home. And I heard that name, and I said, Lord, I know what that name means. And the Lord said, that particular woman, and I'm not blaming her now, don't get me wrong. I mean, any kid that's a year and a half is the cutest thing that ever happened. Right or wrong? Male or female? And she used to give words to me constantly. And the Lord said, pray for her this morning. Lord, I don't even know if I remember this lady, except I remember her name. She was a hairdresser. My mom used to help her. And I was, I guess, the star of the salon. And, you know, being cute, kind of chubby, because I was. I was on a diet when I was 9 months old, so don't let anybody kid you. Okay? I weighed 31 pounds at 9 months. So I was definitely what you could call round. Okay? And I said, Lord, why? And I had an echo in my hearing of the words that she spoke to me. And the Lord said, your flesh was being built up. Whoa. Don't like that. How many know that your flesh can bring you into an abortion? Because if you're so focused on self and how cute you are and how cute you were, you look in the mirror 20, 40, 60, 80, whatever years down the road, and you're going to find that you've got a few flaws, a few areas that need healing or regeneration. Okay? What I'm trying to get to you is, God was trying to say something to me about this lady. She was just being a wonderful lady. But it was building up the wrong part of me. It was building up my soul. Do you hear me? Building up of the soul will bring you to what? Pride. I'm so cute. I'm so holy. I'm this, I'm that. And boy, I deserve the best. Amen? And there's nothing wrong with it to a degree. As long as it's God's plan for you. But you see, the church is going to wake up. The church is waking up. The church is coming together. But they're going to come together in humility. They're not going to come together. It's all about me. And it's about me being rich. Yes, He can make you rich so that you can bless others. Not for selfish lifestyles. So, you say, well, when are you going to get into the Word? Right now. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to play, hopefully, some words into your heart to change you so that you can become more like Him. more like Him. That's the goal. To be more like Jesus. You know, we all sang the song, to be like Jesus. And as soon as He starts having some things go wrong in your life, you wonder, where are you, Lord? Well, He's trying to get rid of some garbage. Amen? Okay. Verse 1. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and the crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven. An enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. By the way, just remember there are Hollywood stars and there are demonic stars. So I'll leave that right there. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might destroy her child the moment it was born. So there's a purpose in abortion. There's a purpose by the enemy to make sure that you never complete your mission. I remember receiving a word from a lady in Tabernacles, 1996. I know exactly where and when. It was in Washington, D.C. And she said, this time you will not abort. And she was speaking over several people that were interested in carrying out the commission of God, not to carry out the selfish commission that others were interested in. And when we received that word, we didn't understand. Lord, what are you trying to say? Well, abortion is you don't get to the completed process. The baby never comes to life. It is aborted. It is removed from the womb. Verse 5. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and His throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God. To a place. Now, you say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the church bringing in some male, awesome men of God, coordinated as one unit before God, to be the man-child, to be that which has been in the earth when Christ was in the earth. He was the first of many brothers, Romans 8. Now, the corporate man that comes into the earth, that is created by God, the enemy is going to try to get rid of. Do you understand? So when you see the political system trying to eliminate the freedom that we have, what is it that's happening? The abortion process is trying to come in so that the church never completes its mission. I'm trying to tell you that God said He will bring that child up. He will bring that child into a close relationship with Him in the heavenly realm. Not out there, here, in the earth, where you're to occupy until He is definitely manifest in you. That's what He wants. He wants to see you look just like Jesus. He wants to see you cast out devils. He wants to see you resurrect people. And He wants you to be the focus of His love. And when you're in love with yourself, you can't have both. Do you see where I'm coming from? If you're in love, so in love with who you are in Christ, you're going to be in trouble. If you're in love with your brother and sister in Christ, then you'll be, oh, my God, obedient to what He calls you to do and what He calls you to complete. That's what He wants. And you know what? I've got news for you. God's going to get His way. Because Jesus prayed a prayer, John 17. We will be one in Him. As He was in the Father and the Father was in Him. That will be a reality in the earth. So God's not trying to get us out of here. He's trying to get Himself down here, inside of me and you, corporately, in harmony and in love. verse 6. I remember my pastor from years ago used to tell us that we were the ark of safety. We were the Noah's Ark of this day. And watch, he says, the woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. And war broke out, etc., etc., and I don't want to go there. I'm just trying to give you an understanding of where I believe he's trying to get us to obey. Now, how many know that the system of Babylon is confusion, and it's also the wealth that is in the earth that has been functioning under a confused status, and it's been going on for thousands of years. Our economy is based, and I know I'm taking you a little deeper, but that's why things were different today. Our economy is based on borrowing and borrowing and borrowing, and I can tell you from facts that before 1913, there was no national debt in the United States of America. I can tell you that in 1917, the bankers from Europe made a coordinated effort to take over our nation. And they succeeded by seduction. And I'm not going there, but I'm trying to tell you the pattern has been in place for a long time. And God is not disturbed by it. And the church should not be disturbed by it. Because they know who they are serving. Amen? And if you know who you're serving, everything is going to be wonderful and awesome. Is God able to use Babylon for his own purpose? Was God able to use Judas for his own purpose? Was God able to use even the king of Israel for his own glorification? Yes. So you see, there's no big deal going on that God is not going to be caught. Oh my God, he's going to be so surprised when things fall apart. No, he's not. He's going to be looking and saying, I'm taking care of my own. My kids are going to be in the ark of safety, in that place where no one is going to touch them. But, I want you to go to 14. Revelations 14. I want you to see the church. I looked. Verse 1. And there before me was the Lamb standing on a Mount Zion. And with him 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. Why should you be worried about a sign and a name of the beast put on you when you've got the sign and the name of the Father and the Son on your forehead? If you're focused on getting an injection of some kind that's going to identify you, I've got news for you. You've already been sealed. You've got the deposit of the Holy Ghost inside of you, which gives you the beginning of a new revelation of who you are in Christ. Amen? It's not make-believe. And so if you're focused on the negative, who's controlling you? The spirit of fear. If you're focused on the one who sent his son to the cross to purchase you, you're focused on love. And the compassionate Father is taking care of us. Amen? And I heard, verse 2, a sound from heaven like the roaring of rushing waters, like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. Redemption from the earth doesn't mean you're taken out of the earth. Redemption from the earth is from an earthly-minded mentality. If you're only focused on self, you're focused on the flesh. If you're focused on your spirit, man, you're going to be focused on being new and being like the one and only Christ. These are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they kept themselves pure. They followed the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among men and offered, listen to this, as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless. So look at your neighbor. So you're going to be blameless. Get happy. You're going to be blameless. It's a process to get there. And I'm on my way. Hallelujah. Verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who lived on the earth. Now, to every nation, tribe, language, and people, he said in a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Now, the hour of judgment, is it for the saints or is it for the non-believer? No. You've already been judged. You've been found not guilty. Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation. Do you understand? You're already free. Why should you rehearse what we talked about last week? Are you born again and filled with the Holy Ghost? Are you washed in the blood? Did Jesus have any more work to do on you after that reality became truth to you? Romans 5:9 says, the blood of Jesus justifies you in the courts of heaven and in the courts of the earth. So where is all this guilt stuff that you're going to be judged again? You've already been judged. And you've been declared what? Huh? Not guilty? Clean. Either you are or you aren't. Which are you? Oh, I must fall in the middle because I still am debating. Well, stop debating. Either get the attitude that he's already done the work, or he's still in process. Is Jesus still in process of making you like himself? Yes, in your soul. But your spirit is fully alive in him. Fully alive and not guilty of anything. He's already dealt with the sin. It's beneath your feet. Okay? Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment to come. Worship him who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the springs of water. A second angel followed and said, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries. Babylon the Great, the lady that's called the prostitute of confusion. When you listen to some of these and I don't want to go into the political realm, but I listened to some of the commentaries that have been given over the air in the news. And the confusion, that's the byproduct of it. When people are trying to sell something and they're selling without the truth, what happens? They're constantly feeding confusion. And you listen to this and you say, my God, what's wrong? Well, you're starting to see the spirit of confusion being exposed. And the people are getting angry. And it's okay to get angry. Because you know what? Those who are trying to sell you something that's going to be confusing are operating under which spirit? They're operating under this spirit right here. A third angel followed them, verse 9, and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on their foreheads or on their hand, he too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured out full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. Now, those who belong to the Lamb are not going to be tortured. But those who belong to confusion and are trying to sell you a bill of goods that is not clear and truth, we'll definitely have to answer to God and the angels of God. Now, verse 11. And the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast in his image and for anyone who receives the mark of his name. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints. How can you endure patience if you're out of here? You're going to be right here. You're going to be watching the darkness hit those who don't believe in the Most High God. You're going to be having to be patient and intercede for those that are having a hard time so that they can come to Christ. That's the whole purpose of God. Amen? Now, this calls for patient endurance on the parts of the saints who obey God's commandment and remain faithful to Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." Yes. What are they dying from? They're dying from their selfishness. People think they're going to be dying. They've already died to self. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And yes, you say, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. I looked, verse 14, and there before me a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was the one like the Son of Man, with a crown of gold on his head, and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, "Take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come." So this is the great harvest that God is speaking of. There's going to be an identification of the confusion that has ruled in the earth and the system of confusion, which is including the borrowing system. All of this garbage that is going on right now, politically, it's all right under God's hand. God knows exactly which buttons to push. And He needs to have you and me intercede as He gives direction. As you hear His voice, obey. John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30 tell you, Jesus didn't do anything to please Himself. As He heard and saw from the Father, He obeyed. Okay? So your job is to do likewise, not to satisfy yourself. Now the scripture that came at 3 a.m. Are you ready? I want you to go to Isaiah. Chapter 9. And I've tried to give you a mindset right now. I'm trying to give you a mental picture of the body of Christ as one unit before God. If you can mentally take on the reality that we will be a body of believers, Jesus is the head, you and I are the body. Coordinated in love, not coordinated in jealousies and selfishness, or self-seeking, if you wish, to satisfy their own lust. Isaiah 9, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past He humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future He will honor Galilee of the Gentiles and by the way of the sea along the Jordan." So now, this is talking about Jesus, the firstborn son, but it also magnifies the next level, when He corporately is revealed in the earth. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land have the shadow of death. A light has dawned. You have enlarged the You have enlarged the nations and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest." Do you hear? It's harvest time. At the harvest, there will be rejoicing. "As men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdened them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders." Is that written for you and me? Or was it just when Jesus came the first time? See, the governments of the world, at the time that Christ came, in His natural flesh, was a season where He would expose the demonic kingdoms. But they were looking for a deliverance from Rome. Amen? They wanted freedom from the oppressors. Did they get it? did the believers get what they were looking for? They got Christ, but did they get freedom from Rome? Huh? They're still struggling. The Roman system's still operating. You know why? Because it was a system of borrowing. And it goes back to Babylon. Do you hear? When Jesus emptied the temple of those barterers, the exchangers of money who were profiting on the people, was he happy with them? What did he do? Yeah! He flipped their tables over. That's a prediction of what's happening. That's telling you he's not going to put up with usury forever. He's not going to put up with the confusion that was in the temple. He said, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations, not a place to make money. Do you hear me? Now, that applies to this country as well. It applies to the whole world. Because when he cleans up this country, he's going to clean up the world as well. Because he's interested in what? He's going to be sending us what? A new earth? Yeah, one that's free of confusion. That's going to be something to look forward to. But look at this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be... there will be no end. In other words, the church is going to increase. It is increasing now. If you've listened to any of the Christian channels the past few months, you know that the Holy Spirit is releasing visions and dreams and even manifestations where Jesus comes into some of these Islamic nations and people are being born again under the very noses of the spirit of confusion that is operating in those nations. Is it too big for God to take care of our government? Is it too big for God for the angels to clean up the mess? Okay, so what's your job? Intercession, as the Spirit of God directs you. That's all it is. Intercession, as He directs. To take compassion on those who are living in confusion. And by the way, He'll remove those that He needs to remove when the time is right. He knows how to remove people, doesn't He? How many have you heard and seen people removed from their lives? Yeah! The very oppressors, once you got on your knees and said, God, I can't take this anymore. And what happens? Something clicks in the heavenlies. It might take a while, but all of a sudden, they either conform to the image of Christ or God just zaps them out. He's the judge. He hasn't changed His way. Okay? But as we struggle to recognize that the government of His peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Woo-hoo! From that time on and not part-time. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Not you, not me. Not because the church is, let's say, so holy in their own eyes. But because the church has come into harmony. She has come into a place where all of the things that she's doing for selfish reasons will be eliminated. That's why the fire is on you. That song, by the way, was just awesome this morning. The CD was great, but the song about the fire was going right down. And God is not finished with any of us. He's not finished with you and me. He's interested in setting us free from all of the confusion that's out there. And don't overreact to what you hear in the news. Okay? React to what the Holy Ghost reveals to you. React to what He says to do. And if each of us do what we were called of God to do, what do you think is going to happen to the church? She's going to rise triumphant. She's going to be that ark of safety. And when God decides to close the door and say no more, that's going to be him. His job is to close the ark. His job is to set you and me inside that ark in the position of authority that he's given us. So if you begin to look at this message as a construction of something that's happening in the earth right now, yes, there will be harsh difficulties for those who refuse to bow their knee. But there will be awesome celebrations for the body of Christ who's obedient to the Father. That's what I believe is going to be happening very, very soon. And you know, everybody's wanting the Lord to return. Well, he's got to return in you and me first. That's where he's got to come in. Is he born again to build you up, to make you look so precious and make everybody jealous? Yes, he is. But in a humble way. Not because you think you're so holy, but because he is so holy in you that you have no selfish motivation. Are you ready to pray? Would you take your neighbor's hand, please? Say, Lord Jesus, in John 17, you prayed the Father that we would become one. That's my prayer today. Make my harmony with my neighbor and my brothers and sisters in Christ be so selfless that we're ready to help and to serve our Heavenly Father, the Most High God, just like Jesus did. Not to please the government, but to please our Father's plan to create in me the temple of the Holy Ghost. So helpless to do on our own, but ready to serve those that we're to serve, to lift up those that we're to lift up, to lay hands on the sick, and to deliver those that are wounded, and bring them up, help them up, if they've been broken, to help heal them. That's God's plan for me. And it's for my prayer as well. Amen. And amen.